Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Winter is coming. Heavy rain, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires up for the challenge? Tread confidently in winter's worst with the new set of tires from Tire Rack. They sell only the best, like the full line of Michelin tires. Go to TireRack.com/sports. Tell them what you drive. Your tires will be shipped fast and free to you or to one of over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the Best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The Dallas Cowboys and the Seattle Seahawks were going at it. Great game. The rare Thursday night thriller. And the Cowboys came out on top 41-35. Great game. Really, really good. Both quarterbacks played well. Geno was solid. And Dak Prescott was great. Dak Prescott was exceptional. 29-41. 299 yards. 3 touchdowns. No picks. And this is what I want to ask you, Rob, because we talked about it, I guess, a week or so ago, maybe a week and a half. And I said Dak should be in the MVP race. I'm not saying he should be the MVP right now, but I think he is right in the thick of the race. And I want to know, did last night, you disagreed. You think he's nowhere near. So last night, did that change your mind at all?
Last night was better for him. Better in that it was a playoff team from a year ago.
Yep.
A team
and right
that,
now this year.
Yeah, but they were a playoff team a year ago. This is better than the stuff that he had been doing against the other team. So, sure, it was a big game. So, yeah, his conversation, his name is definitely in that conversation coming off of last night. But it's very the MVP. When you have had some clunkers and have beaten some patsies, is fragile because he's one bad game or 3 interceptions away from people going, no, he's not the MVP. Like, it's not like he's rock solid in the MVP conversation. That's how fluid it is. You love Micah Parsons after the first 2 games.
Well, yeah.
My point is, you like Micah
week
Parsons.
Week 2 is different from week 13.
No, but Chris, but you liked him after those 2. You also like Christian McCaffrey after
and I like Brock Purdy.
I mean, I liked a lot of guys at early points in the season. No, I know. And my point is, every time they have a bad game or 2, they fall out. And I believe that Dak can fall out from this conversation with a bad performance. Is he in it now, Chris, after last night? Yes. All I'm saying is it ain't like he's wedged in and no matter what happens from here on out, he's in that conversation. That's all.
Here, look, I agree with some of what you said. Where I disagree is the difference in week 2, week 5, whatever, early in the season, of course a clunker can take you completely out of it because we only got 4 games. We only got 3 games, you know? So, but now you've had 2/3 of the season played. And so sure, a horrible game will drop him a bit, but it's not like he's the only one who could have or has had bad games. This is a unique year in that no one is running away with it. And I think he's really only had – he's had one horrific game, which was San Francisco. Three interceptions, one TD, 153 yards. And then Arizona was a bad game too. 250, one TD, one interception. And those stats don't sound horrible, but they lost to a two-win team. So it was a bad game. But we could look at just about every candidate and point to some clunkers like that. You know, we talked about Jalen Earle, who I think right now is the front runner. We talked about him earlier in the season. His first six games, it was seven TDs, seven interceptions. And now he's surged since then. Patrick Mahomes has not been the Mahomes that we've come to know and love. Brock Purdy, you know, is on the periphery of it. Tua has, talk about some clunkers, Tua's had several just mediocre games. And so I do think Dak is there. It's weird because when I'm on First Things First, Nick Wright and Greg Jennings are saying Dak is the MVP right now. And I'm arguing against them. No, he's not. He's in the race. He's firmly in the mix, but he is not the MVP. And now with you, I'm just trying to convince you, he's in the mix. It's like I'm arguing both sides, but
no, I said after last night he is in the mix now.
I don't think it's as I don't know what the word is, but I don't think it's as flimsy, for lack of a better word, as you're saying.
Well, last night going into last night's game,
yeah, going into like last sixth. Night, what was he was, but he was fifth. And it depends on what. There's different odds.
That was last night. One game before last night, despite what he had been as the NFC Player of the Month, despite that, he still was fifth or sixth or wherever he was. And I know those are just Las Vegas odds. I'm not saying that.
I think he was as high as fourth, though, in some.
Okay, but you get my point is coming off of that award, people still didn't have him even in the top three. They still had Patrick Mahomes ahead of him, who's not having a great year. So it speaks volumes that despite the numbers he had put up, some people didn't buy all the way into it because of the opponents that he piled
up numbers. Well, that's where I agree with you. That's why I don't think – like numbers-wise, he and Brock Purdy have the best numbers of the quarterbacks.
And Brock was behind him.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, Brock, there was a three-game losing streak. And both of these guys – and I'm not saying it's actually unfair, but both Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott are fighting perception. Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, the last man drafted. He's got a lot of great players around him. That team has been good before he took over, been to a Super Bowl, been to two NFC title games. And so it's even I, who like Brock Purdy a lot, I'm still, not ready to call him elite, even though his numbers and his production has been elite because of the background. Mr. Irrelevant was good at Ohio State, really good at Iowa State, but not, you know, in, like, the world on fire. And so I want to see more. So I think that's one thing that's working against him is people thinking, wow, can he really be the MVP, Mr. Irrelevant? And I think for Dak, for slightly different reasons, same thing, because he was, Rob, we've watched him for 7 years be good, but not close to MVP caliber. We've seen him put up numbers but lose or have a middling record. We've seen him go 2-4 in the playoffs. So we haven't thought of Dak Prescott as an MVP candidate, like one of the perennial ones. And so I think he's got to give a little extra because that's the perception of him. But where I agree with you strongly is that he's got to do it against better competition. The good thing is he's got the chance because their schedule last night was the start of a run that is going to, you know, they're going to play the best team, some of the best teams in the league.
So it's
Philadelphia.
Up to him.
Yep.
So it's up
if
to
he
him.
If he continues to play this well, then he's got a great shot. He got the Eagles, the Bills, and the Dolphins, and the Lions, Rob. I mean, he don't have to win every game, but he has to play well. And if they win, say, three of those, which I know is a big ask.
It's a tall order, but
right.
Still, I get it.
But if they win two, depending on, you know, what other quarterbacks do, and he plays really well in all the games, he's got a shot. So I think he's having his best year, Rob. Would you agree with that?
I guess numbers-wise. I guess before, what was the...
It's not even numbers-wise his best, but because, you know, a lot of those years where he had great numbers, he was losing.
Yeah, I was trying to think. Yeah,
2-3, you know, he got hurt that year, but...
That was the...
I think it's his best year.
2020 year? Yeah, I think.
Here's why I'd say COVID it's his year. Best, because he is the engine. Like, we've always said... He's kind of a glorified game manager. He is a guy that you need a great running game, but then he can be your quarterback and use his legs and make some plays here and there. Don't throw it more than 30 times, though. This year, that's out the window. They don't have a great running game. They got a solid kind of running game. It's middle of the pack. He is the driving force of the offense now. CD Lamb's great, but I mean, you need somebody to throw it to CD. CD ain't Tyreek Hill. And so I think that's why I think it's his best year, Rob, because he's actually the driving force of their offense.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Dynasty the King.
What's good, y'all? It's your main man, Michael Smith, esteemed NFL analyst and certified fantasy football legend. Allow me to present to you your new favorite fantasy football podcast, The Dynasty Exchange, hosted by my first-round rookie picks, Davis, Dylan, and Josh, three guys who most definitely know their stuff. They're the co-commissioners of the coolest and most cutthroat dynasty league you'll ever come across, the Yacht Club. And now they're the co-hosts of the most elite. Now make that the definitive dynasty program in the game. It's dedicated to only the most devoted of diehards, the guys like me who can't stay off Sleeper and KTC. And trust me, you won't regret making the choice to follow their dynasty advice. Listen to Michael Smith Presents The Dynasty Exchange on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, game off. We got to pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying, flag on the play. You've already talked about that, but there is just so much good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. Unique stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes. Cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. Hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their unique mini games, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
Rob G., We all, I'm sure, are thankful for the news surrounding Bronny James, LeBron James' eldest son, who, remember, he had suffered cardiac arrest playing basketball last year, I guess, or earlier this year, several months ago. And now he is cleared to play and will be playing for USC. Rob G, fill us in on all the specifics.
Sure. So you touched on it. He suffered cardiac arrest during a team workout in July and actually had to undergo surgery to repair what the James family referred to as a congenital heart defect. So it was pretty serious. There was a moment there where, maybe not in the family, but in the widespread sports media landscape, people were worried if he was ever going to play basketball again. Right. Because when you hear he passed out on the collapsed on the court, it's really scary, right? And thankfully, he had surgery, making a full recovery, and he is expected to be activated at USC here in the next couple of weeks, maybe up to a month. And all of which led to LeBron James being asked about it yesterday following their blowout loss to the Thunder. And LeBron said not only is he excited to see his son back on the court, that he's willing to skip a Laker game to see his debut. Take a listen.
I'm looking forward to his first game whenever he's cleared and whenever he's ready to have his first game. I already told my teammates that if they play on the same day we playing, then I'm going to have to catch them next game. So, yeah, I told y'all I'm playing. Family over everything, champs. I love y'all.
Rob, your thoughts?
Didn't sit well with me, and I get it. Family over everything. Everybody has families. Everybody has families. Everybody has missed. You make commitments. Chris, did you go to all your daughter's recitals and everything that they had?
No, you didn't.
No, because you because
them, but not all.
No,
of them.
I know, but that's my point. Is that you can't do it all, and it's not. I'm not being insensitive. I don't have kids. You know that. I have nieces and nephews, and I missed a lot of stuff that in their lives that I wish I could have gone to. You know, my nephew was a pretty good basketball player. I couldn't go to all of his games. I was working. I had commitments. And so with the kid, and I get it. I mean, this is probably, you know, a little different because of what Bronny went through, Chris, with the heart situation.
Right.
So that might be the part of just being out there to encourage him on that day. And maybe if it was kind of presented that way, maybe I would have had a little different effect to me. But, you know, I had this same thing with Jason Tatum when he took off for a Celtics game for his 5-year-old son's birthday. And I, again, a 5-year-old's birthday party could happen on any day. The kid, Chris, do you remember your 5th birthday party? I don't think you
My
did.
My 5th?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all the way live.
Yeah, right.
Cincinnati, Chris, Ohio.
Please. Yeah, all right.
My friend Calvin there, Keith, you know.
I remember mine. It was like 90 years ago, my 5th birthday. But anyway, I don't remember it. I remember the picture because I had a 5 crown right on my head. You know what I mean? I don't right remember the party. But you get my point.
No, I get that.
It is that this is one of those tough situations where I don't know if it affects the Lakers and will it cost them a game? You know what I mean? Down the road. I mean, you just
it's gonna
don't
cost
know
them a game the way they're barely serviceable when LeBron's there. I'm gonna say a few things about it, Rob. One, people are different. That's number one. I've met guys, Rob, and I don't know if you had a story similar to this, but I remember meeting a reporter that I knew,
mm-hmm,
and not a big time. I mean, you know, he wasn't like working at a big time publication, but he was, I think, working at a smaller paper, but covering, you know, in the NBA playoffs, we were all covering. And his sister died, like, during the playoffs. And he was still covering the games. Now, I would have not been doing that. If my brother died during
God
the playoffs.
God forbid.
Yeah, yes, God forbid. You know, yeah. I would have taken off to be at his funeral or, you know. But he went right through it. So that's why I say, you know, people
deal with stuff differently.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
You had something similar to that, right?
Yeah, my mom died. I did first take. My mom died. I told Skip and Dave Brodsky, our boss, Chris, at that time.
Right.
After the show. And they looked at me
She died during the show?
She had died the day before. And nobody knew. And I was, you know, it was right before I was supposed to. I was working, and then I, you know what I mean? I think I had to work one more day, and then we got the weekend, and I was going to go to New York and the family. And for me to work through it, she would have wanted me to just do what you have to do and then handle everything. And obviously, I took off the funeral. It wasn't like I'm not going to
Right, right, right.
But it wasn't
the next
like
week or something.
Yeah, and when my dad died, I was in Cincinnati. And when my dad died, Chris, I was covering the Reds. And I went to work because I was living in Cincinnati by myself, okay? By myself. I had a girlfriend, right. But I was, you know, on my own.
Right.
And I remember going to the game thinking that I was okay, looking okay, right? Like, I'm just going to work through it and then go to the funeral. My dad was, the funeral was in Florida and all that. And I get into the, Lou Piniella was the manager. I get into his office. I sit down, Chris, in my normal seat, you know, the pregame with the manager.
Right.
Lou Piniella looks right at me, stares at me, and he says, "Son, what's wrong?" That's what he said to me. Mm. And I said, "What?" He said, "What's wrong?" And I said, my dad died last night, blah, blah, blah. He got up from his desk, came over to me, and gave me a hug. I'll never forget that. I thought I was putting on a good face,
right,
I mean?
Right.
He said it immediately. I didn't even open my mouth.
Wow.
And he knew that something had happened.
Yeah, so like we said, people are different, number one. I'm with you I on the Jason Tatum thing. I mean,
that birthday party was ridiculous.
Because especially when you're as wealthy as these guys are, you can bring your son out. I mean, I know with my daughters are 25 now. Right, and this is no exaggeration. You may have friends or nieces and nephews that were similar. They didn't have birthdays. They had birth months.
Mm-hmm.
Not purposely, but it was like they had the party
celebration, right?
At home with the friends, and then they had the party at school, and then they had the party at home with another group of friends. It was like ridiculous. It was like 3 weeks of it or three parties in 2 weeks or something like that. And so you could, if you're in that situation, you can fly your son out, or after, if you don't have a day, you don't have a game, you can go straight there. Hang out with him, do something really special. Without knowing if there were any extenuating circumstances, that's, to me, you can do that. As far as LeBron and Bronny, Rob, I think you mentioned it why I have no problem with it. Number one, because of Bronny's situation with the cardiac arrest, with the questions about whether he would ever play a college basketball game or any type of basketball game again. That, to me, makes this different. Like, I don't know if – I'm not saying the answer is different. I have no idea. But if Bronny had not suffered cardiac arrest and he was just starting the season like everybody else and it was – I don't know that – I'm not sure LeBron would take off, and go to that game.
And that's what I said. That's why I'm conceding, Chris. But he didn't kind of talk about that. It was just like, oh, I told my team I'm not going to be there family first.
Right. He may have assumed it's understood, you know, because of Bronny's
situation. But if he would have said, given what my son's been through, I need to be there for his first. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's the –
right.
That would have been –
I think that's what he – without knowing exactly because we haven't talked to him.
Right.
I think that's the situation.
But doesn't it sound different that way?
Yeah. But again, Rob, my feeling is most people – would understand that. Now, you didn't take it that way, and that's fine. But to me, it was like, it's understood. If anybody that knows what he went through.
I didn't take it that way.
Yeah, I totally take it that way. And so, in this situation, I'm fine with it. I also will throw this in, Rob. I'm going to throw in a couple things. One, LeBron, I feel differently about him, honestly, being 38 years old, about to be 39, in his 21st season. Like, for instance, I don't want to hear game or load management from any other players. Him in his 21st year? Yeah. You need a day off, man, take it. I just, because of his age and his, you know, where he's at in his career, I feel a little different about him versus the other player. And it, players. And then I'm going to throw this in too. And I don't like feeling this way, but it's just how I feel. Rob, unfortunately, because of the last, I don't know, 7 years or so, whatever it's been, of big-time load management, I hate to say it. Like I said, I don't like feeling this way, but I feel like he missing one game. What's the big deal? Is one dudes miss their average superstars gonna miss 7 games that he didn't need to miss? But again, I'm not saying I like feeling this, but I've been conditioned now over these last 7 years that it's like, man, he only missing one game.
But
you know,
I hear you.
It's unfortunate, but that's kind of where we've gotten in NBA.
Right, but the pushback again becomes, here we go. More players, like the fans don't matter. I bought tickets for this game. You know what I mean? Like if you're a fan, and Chris, obviously that people are going to understand like the family situation and what right. Bronny's been through, but it's just another example of we don't matter. You know what I mean?
Well, I also think that, look, that's fair because obviously there's going to be fans that bought tickets to go see LeBron that night, whatever night that is. But I get that, and you don't want to belittle that. But I also think, Rob, LeBron's history and even, recent history, like last year and this year, of playing as much as he could. He's not like a Kawhi or some of these other guys who have, you know, just made a mockery of the regular seasons by taking so many games off. And so I think people might look at that and, like you said, and the family situation. But, like, just load management, I'm not dismissing the concerns about it because I hate it. And tonight you heard us when Steve DeSager was saying Luka is out and Wimby is out and they're injuries. But I just hate to see any of this. Like, if you're not, you know, injured to the point where you can't play, then you should be out there playing.
It just happens a lot. And
yeah,
that's
it's
the
happening
problem.
Too
it
much.
It happens a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could. Would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, game off. We gotta pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying, flag on the play. You've already talked about that, but there is just so much good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments, where you work together to build each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. Unique stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes. Cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. Hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new
and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Fox Sports play-by-play broadcaster, friend of the show, Gus Johnson. Gus, welcome to the iCouple, brother.
Gus. Hey, I got my two boys. What's going on, man? What's good? It's man, nice to hear your voices. Happy holidays.
You too, brother. And we said earlier that you are this generation's Keith Jackson.
No doubt.
You cool with that?
Man, you know, Keith Jackson is Zeus. I just to be mentioned in the same sentence with Mr. Jackson is an honor and a privilege, and words can't express the amount of gratitude that I have that you guys feel like that. I really appreciate it.
Nah, man, you've earned it for sure. And what a weekend, man. Huge for college football. Let's just get right to it, man. I have been a fan of or an advocate for expanding the playoff to whether it was 8 or now it's going to be 12, which I'm happy about. And I'm looking at this year, and if an Alabama wins, and, you know, if all Alabama's not so much expected, but if they win and then everybody else kind of wins as expected to, it's going to be hard to narrow it down to 4. How are you looking at it this year as far as the playoff?
It's funny you said that, because I was just in a meeting with Joel Klatt, and, you know, my partner, and he's an expert at it all. He said, if Alabama beats Georgia, all hell breaks loose.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
All hell breaks loose if Alabama beats Georgia. He feels that you got Texas there. If Alabama beats Georgia, then Alabama and Georgia may go, and then you got to pull Texas in there to go with Michigan. And then Florida State's quarterback is hurt. He's got a concussion, so he's not going to go in the ACC championship game against a very good Louisville team. So what happens if Florida State loses to Louisville and
Washington,
then you got Ohio
Oregon
State
tonight
sitting at 6? It's just so much, man. It's so. First of all, I think it's great, and yeah, they're going to expand. They're already in negotiations about that for next season. But right now, it just makes the whole sport so exciting. I know there are going to be some disappointed people, teams, and fan bases when all the dust settles. But it just like, for example, I forgot. I can't – now I'm so excited because the game tomorrow for me is at night. Now I get to go up after this meeting and after I talk to you guys, and I get to watch this Oregon-Washington game. This is going to be great.
Yep.
I mean, this is huge.
Now let me – Gus, let me ask you about this year's college football season. Most of the time it's pretty much the standard usual suspects who are involved, and we know who they are and, you know, what's going to usually play out. This year, which was interesting, was a lot of different stuff, including Deion Sanders, who was named Sports Illustrated's Sports Person of the Year. Deion, no doubt about it, shook up college football the first couple of weeks, but it was a bad ending. Where were you on that, and just what Deion did with college football? Do you think he was warranted the Sports Person of the Year?
Oh, man, I tell you, First of all, I've always loved Deion Sanders as a player. In college at Florida State, in the pros with the Cowboys, the 49ers, and the Falcons, and the Ravens, and in baseball, and with Cincinnati and the Yankees and other teams he played for. I just think that he's a wonderful personality. I think he's a grounded man. And I think that what he did for college football, he injected some vitality, even more vitality into college football, because we were all, you know, we've seen Deion Sanders basically grow up in front of our eyes, most of us. And we see him now as a head coach at a Power 5 school, leaving Jackson State after success down there. And we're seeing what he is trying to accomplish in his first season at Colorado. And I think he did a wonderful job. especially those games that he won. The TCU win at the beginning of the season was exciting. He'd be getting like between 7 and 11 million viewers per game when it was when you know they were competitive. But I think that he's still a young coach at this level, and he learned, and he's learning right. that you know the Pac-12 is no joke.
No, it was no joke.
Unfortunately, right, it was just no joke. There's not an easy game in the Pac-12. And he learned. He learned about his team. He learned about, you know, bringing a bunch of transfers in and trying to put them together and playing in a conference like the Pac-12. It may not be the perfect equation. You know, you got to work through getting kids out of high school and getting them in there and grooming them and growing them and those kind of things. But I think that, you know, Deion Sanders didn't do anything wrong. And I think that he is the kind of coach that may be the future of college football. And I really love what he did, and I just wish him nothing but success. And I think he's going to be successful at Colorado. It's just a matter of time. But for the first year after winning one game the previous year, you win four this year, I think job well done.
Gus, you mentioned Deion at Jackson State, HBCU. And you went to an HBCU, Howard University. You were actually there with my brother, Terry. We weren't critical of him for leaving Jackson State or anything like that. But I want to ask you this. A lot of people talk about, man, the HBCUs are sleeping giants as far as sports, if you could get some of the top athletes to go there. What do you think of that notion, and what would it take? Is it even realistic, or what would it take to really, you know, sprout the athletic programs, at least football and basketball, at some of these HBCUs?
Well, obviously it takes financing, but I think that's unrealistic. You know, we have a system, a culture of football and big-time college sports, and the HBCUs just aren't there, and that's just really not probably going to happen. Especially when you see a coach today, Matt Rhule from Nebraska, said that in order to get a good quarterback out of the transfer right. portal, it's going to cost us between $1 and $2 million.
Right.
So the sport has been transferred into basically a high level minor league sport, and I'm happy that the kids are getting paid. I'm very, very happy that you know they're sharing some of the money, and that hopefully down the road they'll do something to where they can get an even bigger piece of that pie, hopefully. But I think it's great, especially for these African-American athletes who dominate the sport, to be able to earn a living while going to college and getting an education. But in terms of historically black colleges and universities, I think we have our own culture, and I think it's a great culture. It will be nice to see it financed a little bit more, but I don't think that our schools are for sports. It's sports is a part of it, very small part of it. I think that what the mission is for African-American universities, historically black colleges and universities, black colleges as we were called when I was at Howard, is to educate our kids. And to continue to educate them, to continue to, you know, pass knowledge on to them. And sports is a nice little piece, but it's not the same as other levels.
All right, here we go. Everybody loves you on the college football, except for one guy, Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Chris, did you hear this stuff?
No, I didn't.
So you know I'm on MLB Network, and Russo has a show on there. I'm on his show every so often, but he took exception, A, to two things, Gus. I don't even know if you read this or saw this, but he did not like that you call Marvin Harrison Jr. Maserati Marv. He hates that. He said he hates that nickname. Isn't his name? Doesn't Chris Russo have a nickname?
Why? Or he
no,
just...
this just was like a rant or whatever. And number two, he said Michigan, Ohio State is not the greatest sports rivalry in the country or in sports history. He says, did you ever hear the Yankees and the Red Sox or the Dodgers and Giants or the Bears or the Packers? So Russo had exception with some of the stuff you
Bears,
said.
Bears, Packers.
Yeah, that's what he said, Bears, Packers. But I just wanted to know if you saw
it. Oh, man, Chris Russo. I've always really liked him. But, you know, I mean, that's okay. Criticism is part of the game, and Yep. If anything, I take this, to be honest with you, I mean, just hearing it, I take it as a compliment. I'm actually flattered that I'm on his mind like that. So
right.
Tell him I said thank you.
And you know what? Right. Hey,
you live rent-free.
Exactly. They don't talk about you if you're irrelevant. You know that. If you don't, hey, your name never comes up.
Yeah, that's right. If they're not talking about you, you got trouble. That's what you should worry.
Right. Quickly, before you go, Gus, coming into the season and certainly throughout the first half of the season, Caleb Williams, hands down, best quarterback in the country, number one in the NFL draft coming up. Now, you know, he's still the consensus or the most likely number one, but there are those naming Drake May and all that. In your mind, is it Caleb undoubtedly the number one and best quarterback prospect?
I don't know about that.
Oh, it's a pause. Did you hear that pause? Did you hear that?
Drake May, somebody else?
I mean, it depends on the team, and it depends on the system of that team. I think Caleb Williams is a phenomenal talent. I really do. But there's some other guys out there that I think are pretty doggone good, too. I'm sure they're going to be evaluated by the scouts. Like this kid that we're watching tomorrow, J.J. McCarthy. I mean, yep. I don't think J.J. has even started to scratch. He's not even he's only at the tip of the iceberg of who he's going to be as a professional quarterback. And he doesn't even get a chance to throw it that much. So, I think Caleb is, you know, if they picked him number one overall, I would not be surprised. But I don't know. I mean, I like seeing these kids playing big games and get an opportunity to see. Bo Nix is another one. Michael Penix Jr. is another quarterback. Drake May at North Carolina is another quarterback that all should be given consideration. So there are a lot of young, talented players out there. And Caleb Williams is at the top of the list of the men that play that position.
All right, that's the great Gus Johnson, Fox Sports play-by-play broadcaster. Check him out tomorrow, the Big Ten Championship with Joel Klatt. He'll be calling the game Michigan versus Iowa. That's tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern time right here.
Can I ask one question?
Yes. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Rob, what do you think about – I mean, I got to get your take on this because so much has happened.
Oh, I already know where he's going with the line.
Give me a thumbnail sketch on what you think of Coach Harbaugh and what's going on with Michigan and all that stuff.
All right, look, where there's a little smoke, there's fire, and this is the only thing I'm going to say, Gus. He wanted his due process and his day in court, and then, I don't know, the Big Ten must have showed him some evidence that they had, so that changed real quick, and he accepted the 3-game suspension. So that was interesting to me, but he has. If they can win a national championship, you got to give him credit, but that's what he has to get done, Gus. He needs a national championship. Would you agree?
Right. I would agree, but he's done a great job turning that program around. Remember, they had lost 8-3.
Because Gus and I was going back and forth at it, Chris. We would every so often text about Michigan.
All right, Gus. You, brother.
All right,
have a good game tomorrow. Yep, more couple coming your way.
Thank you, buddy.
Fox Sports Radio.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico.
Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.